Clustered Conversations. Clustered Conversations by Weka.
Hello and welcome to Clustered Conversations. I'm Bob.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're joined by Omar from Slack, which is the Stanford Linear Accelerator, I believe. Did I get the name right?
You got it. You forgot center, but you got it.
Center.
90% of the way through. Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah. I was a C student in college.
Not the messaging company. You know, not the messaging company. So
D's get degrees, right? I mean,
so you guys are,
that's how that works.
You guys are rocket scientists. You guys are the scientists looking at the stuff that is, putting the universe together. I take it.
Funny story that you mentioned rocket scientists, because in a past life, I was indeed an aerodynamicist. Worked for NASA, did a lot of computational fluid dynamics, a lot of numerical modeling. That's how it came about to come into Slack from my scientific computing background. Wow. So funny that you mentioned rocket scientists, because I do have a master's in aerospace engineering, which I did for almost 10 years. Wow. And then I went and got my my MBA. Here I am at Slack, you know?
Thermo and fluid were the reason that I'm no longer in mechanical engineering. So
what? Those are the most critical reasons why you want to be an engineer.
I was taking those classes. I'm all, I do not enjoy this. This is not me. I need to go find something else.
Oh, man. You don't like how the golf balls work, the dimples and all that good stuff.
I find it fascinating, but just I couldn't do the math. And what I was really good at was the manufacturing engineering side of things. I was good at the hands-on and making things work.
So yeah.
I went that direction more, and then ended up in technology this way.
Yeah, look at that.
Drastically,
you know?
Underqualified for this conversation.
I am with my
BS in recreation signed by the Terminator.
Hey, but look at this. We all ended in the same spot. All three of us right here lined up. So it doesn't matter your background, right? So we all three love technology, science and technology. So
well, we're that generation.
Exciting things.
Yeah, we kind of grew up on that. Learning BASIC was part of school at one point, and kind of learning computing. Going all the way up, right? It's been.
I don't
part
think
of our
I was
lives.
Born I there, but okay.
I did.
No,
in my
I did.
French
I did
class.
Some basic. I won't lie.
I did. I learned basic at the Westminster Mall in Southern California. They had a little stand in the middle where they had computers, and they made us. You know, my parents signed me up for weekend classes. I go take basic classes when I was a little kid in the middle of a mall on a stand.
Look at you. That must have been exciting.
It was.
What other thing would a little kid do at that time, you know?
I know. I loved computers. I don't know why. It was a strange child.
Yeah. Cool. I started learning BASIC back in high school. But when I was – I did my high school in El Salvador. So I started doing it a little bit over there. Nice. Yeah.
Sweet. So I guess – how'd you end up at Slack? I mean, what brought you over there besides, you know, Thermo?
Was that
doing research?
No, funny story was that I was working with a small firm. We were about six engineers. We had our own library, which was really cool, which one of my negotiation things is like, hey, we have a library. And I was like, I'm sold. Where do I sign? You know, all those access to all those books and reports, NASA reports and things like that. So I was with them. They got me right when I was doing my master's. You know, I had to defend my thesis project, and I got so invested with them that next thing I knew, time flew, and I got a letter from the university saying, if you don't defend your thesis, we're going to cancel all your classes. Oh man, I jumped on it, right? Time just passed, you know, and we're talking about like 7 years later, and I was like, what? So I jumped on it, and I got it done. I presented it. It was great. And shortly after, the company lost its kind of like a vision. The leadership kind of lost its vision, the mission. You know, the economy was not doing so well. At the same time, we were starting getting up again. And like I said, we were very small, like six engineers. So we would do everything, right? Marketing and everything you can think of, even brewing our own coffee, which, you know, it's really great. But it's so they went and they got we lost a contract to a company in Virginia for a management contract that we thought that it was going to help us kind of immerse ourselves on a different role. And at the same time, you know, give us a little bit more of a flexibility in terms of, you know, our R&D and things that we can do. But so we lost it. And funny thing is that company in Virginia, you know, got into the conversations with us and was looking to acquire us. And so during that acquisition process, things didn't start to pan out really well for me. And funny thing was that my father, neighbor worked at Slack, and she got a hold of my resume. Amadeo Perasso, who's the division director right now for the technology innovation division, got a hold of my resume and wanted to meet me. So I came in all suited, all ready for my interview. Funny thing, it was that we were, there was Amadeo who speaks Italian. At that time, there was also Randy, spoke English. And we had this other colleague of ours, Ernesto, who spoke English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, and so in Italian. So I got in there, was like, okay, so how are we doing this? We're doing this in Italian? Are we going to do this in English? How are we doing this? So it was really great. It was a, you know, it was just a very informal, great conversation about technology, where you want to be in terms of career growth and things like that. So that kind of opened that door, that informal meeting, and the fact that my boss Amadeo loves soccer. So one of the questions was, do you play soccer? And of course I do. So, you know, they within a couple months, I got a notification that they wanted me to come in. And yeah, and they just kind of like, you know, help us right now while we're growing. And then I can help you out in your career. So that's how I ended up in Slack. You know, I'm, so far, 6 years later, I'm still okay. Very nice. Busy, but it's fun. A lot of cool things happening.
And I guess, you know, nice. Working with the storage stuff. So, I mean, how did the storage kind of become part of your world since that's, you know, been our world?
Yes. We hired a colleague from Italy. His name is Ricardo. And he wanted to learn about storage. And so, you know, at that time, we were using, you know, NFS appliances. And there was talks about, hey, you know, let's get, you know, let's upgrade our storage, right? It's so old. And so he got really invested in learning Lustre.
Okay.
And eventually he decided that, you know, after a few years becoming our expert, he decided that it was time for him to go back home for his family. And so we lost some of that expertise, yet I've always been in the background of things, right? So I started picking it up, right? I started the point. I started maintenance and stuff like that. And so, and the team got just smaller, smaller, smaller. And then I believe his name is Steve. He introduced us to Weka. And our first conversation was with Efrain, amazing guy. And he was our first POC and kind of just drive us through, you know, and did us a demo. And it looked great. And so we decided, well, we have these, you know, non-redundant appliance here. We need something better, something more performant, especially, you know, okay, we can integrate it into our, you know, home environment, right? The first thing we can do, we can integrate it into our home environment, not the, you know, the heavy duty stuff that Weka is meant for, but it was a good integration just come in. And so it started like that, right?
Yeah, we invented quotas just for you guys. I mean, the quotas were put into the product because that's one of the things you guys required.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that where quotas came from?
That's where quotas came from.
I didn't know the story behind why we have
quotas. I was on those calls because when Ephraim moved on to his next role, he gave me Slack. And so I was the guy working with you guys doing the next set of installs.
Oh, that is too funny. Yeah. So like I said, it was integrated into that particular technology for us because we couldn't replace the heavy duty stuff, but this was something that needed replacement, needed something new. And that new was Weka. And, you know, we deployed it a couple times. Eventually we finalized the deployment and it was great. I remember that at one point that there was one node that it was rebooting itself. But I had so many other things to do, I didn't even care. I just left it going and going, and the product just continued to work, right? And then new features were getting installed in our cluster, so things were polishing up better to our environment. As you mentioned, the quotas, we definitely do need those because, you know, our users, we have a heavy base users, and they can throw a lot of data into their home directories, and all of a sudden, they ate up all the space in the system, or they just hung everything. So very important for that. So yeah, so that's how WEC got started. And then Ephraim always wanted to get into the FFB, our fast feedback, which is our, you know, experiment storage and things like that. So that's what he kept pushing. He kept pushing. And as I told you, as the team got smaller, Amadeo started helping me, you know, deploy, right, what we call our data reduction pipeline with our FFB storage, our new fast feedback. It was all going to be Lustre. Shiny new toy, all Lustre. We were all excited. But no manpower to deploy it.
Right.
So he got a hold of Ephraim again. Worked out a deal, and next thing I knew, he told me, all right, we're going to deploy WEC on the fast feedback, which Ephraim really wanted to test that environment. And so we got it there, and long behold, it worked great, right? I mean, we have that. I don't have to worry about it, right? The way our Lustre is deployed, you know, you have to replace a disk if it's failed because you have, you know, some latency that are caused by it, you know, if the MDS or one of the servers goes down, you're losing a lot of storage. So one of the things of having this and having not enough personnel was that, you know, you have two failover domains the way we set it up, right? So it's kind of like, well, I lost that. No big deal. I'll look at it later. You know, just let it go. Let it go. You know, not critical.
It's fine.
Yeah, I lost a drive. Not critical. I lost two. Not critical. Well, you know, now that I'm starting to lose two, okay, now we're talking. You know, so that kind of gave us that flexibility, that peace of mind, you know, that ease ability of administration. So that kind of, you know, that low quantity of personnel was really the key that allowed WEC to come in more into our environment. And so far, it's been working really great. Thank you for that. Thank you for the you know, all the upcoming features as well. We're really excited for those. Mm-hmm. And because of that, now that we're thinking about our next generation, building a whole new data center, you know, we're looking about an exabyte of storage right now, over 10 years.
Wow.
Just for just one. Bit. Yeah, just for one, you know, for the Rubin Observatory, right? The one that's going to survey the Southern Hemisphere for 10 years, right? Look at dark matter, you know, just look at the galaxy in general and see if there's any possible meteorite hitting us, you know?
So the galaxy, right?
Yeah, so WECA will be that, you know, storage capturing all the data sort of people to analyze later. So we're building this right now. And so I would say, you know, WECA – better continue doing great, right? Otherwise, we're going to miss that menu, right? Right. So it's going to be.
Omar, I think you said something rather interesting there. So it's this observatory is watching the Southern Hemisphere, and you said it's looking for meteors?
No, well, so one of the applications, right? It's not just looking for meteor, right? It's looking at different things, the composition of the universe, dark energy, but that's one of the potential, any potential hazard coming to the Earth, right? It's going to be, so we're going to be able to capture
it. It could be used as space defense. Look, we're watching for incoming.
We're watching, yes.
Like large bodies that could potentially.
That is correct. So, catastrophic. You know, a lot of pressure on you guys to make sure that system is, you know, performant and stable and all that good stuff. All right, to get all that data. But yeah, so a lot of things are coming in, and because we have this experience already with the FFB, we're expanding on that. I mean, unfortunately, cannot all be flash, right? I mean, if we had an unlimited amount of funds, then everybody would kind of do flash. But so we're doing, we're playing with WECA and S3 as a backend to do some tiering, right? So working on that because, you know, we're going to have to get some spindles to get that capacity at a, you know, reasonable budget. Wow. So that's that's really exciting.
It happens. Yeah.
That's the thing Josh is helping you out with.
Right? We just spent a couple of hours today hammering it. So that was really great. Exactly. We're almost there, right, Josh? We're almost there.
So close. I'm still blaming the proxy.
99.99%, Six Sigma.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. So that's what we're working on right
feedback,
now.
The fast feedback workflow that you have right now, is that part of the actual linear accelerator itself, or is that a different?
Yeah, that's the workers. Exactly. That's the free electron laser. Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
So, but the thing about this is also one of the other projects that I'm involved with is the upgrade of this, you know, free electron laser. So it's going to be, we're calling LCLS2. And so it's going to be about, you know, I think the current one that we have is about 120 pulses per second. You're looking at almost at a million with the new LCLS2 coming. So you're looking at waves, amounts of data coming in, which is actually, you know, so funny and interesting that, you know, people focus on like, oh, the telescope, we're going to survey the galaxy, you know, yeah, you know, but the data is coming, you know, but it's slow and not a big deal. But when you look at the different experiments and what they're trying to accomplish with LCLS2, that amount of data is quite huge. So there we're going to be hitting, you know, both networking, you know, CPUs, you know, it's going to be really hard. And so we're developing a data reduction pipeline so that we can, you know, kind of validate what the what data we can store and what data we can, you know, I wouldn't say throw away, but not store.
Data that's not consequential. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and that's a big project, and that's, you know, it's coming online as well, you know, so
yeah, a lot of cool things.
And because of that,
I'm sorry, Amadeo said you guys were adding to the collider. It's going to be even longer or upgraded.
Oh, yeah, that is indeed. So right now we're using about 1/3. So now we're going to be using 2/3 of it. So definitely is increasing. Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting.
Almost, I think, 8,000 times the intensity that we have right now. So yeah, a lot of work is it's happening right now. So exciting times at Slack with those two projects. And then we have another one coming up, which is a plasma project. That unfortunately I'm on the background of it, but I haven't really digested because I'm still working heavily on getting this new infrastructure in place and getting all this new hardware that we can start using Weka, right? Because we're going to have different clusters for Weka.
So you guys are collecting data from space. You're collecting data from exotic particles that are being created when atoms smash together. So you're looking at the smallest and the biggest of biggest, and that's a pretty cool job.
That's right. You know, to that
that's quite the that scale.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, from those protein levels. Yeah, that's definitely a true statement, Bob. Thank you for that.
and then dark matter on top of that. So even stuff that isn't something.
Oh my God! Yeah. So it like
or,
I said,
or maybe it is something.
It's going to be fascinating, right? So a whole new data center is being built for this for these particular purposes. So a lot of cool science. A lot of cool technology. So, you know, the group has grown and we're trying to push, you know, look at the different technologies out there, you know, partner up with different people to see, you know, that we can have a very optimal, stable and reliable system. And it's scalable too, because we're just going to keep growing and growing and growing for the next 10 years or so.
So
go ahead, Josh.
So part of the new experiments that are coming online, like the new capabilities that you have with these new imagers and the technology that's supporting it, you know, Weka is one of those things, this is kind of a directed, maybe a little bit kind of markety sort of question sort of thing, but have, with the capabilities of Weka and the installations that you have and knowing kind of how it can scale and what it could potentially do at larger installation sizes, has that influenced kind of what you guys have targeted in terms of experiments that you could do?
Actually, you know, the experiments are, I would say, you know, they are the mission requirements, if you want to think about that, have already been established. So we're molding into that, right? It's not, so we have to make sure that we are ready with the, you know, with the like, technologies that, you know, our whatever network, our storage, our CPU cluster, our GPU cluster, our workflows, all that, right, can handle it. So, yeah. Yeah. So no. The experiment is definitely driving the infrastructure, as we would say. Yeah.
Awesome. So, and the adoption of new technologies and.
We're looking at different things, right? Playing with a couple of open sources technologies, so that we can make sure that again, it's an optimal environment, right? And also, you know, easily the administration of it. It's not complex, right? Anybody can look at it and say, oh, there's something here. And, you know, it's a great group of team, great people, you know, and good leadership, I would say, and in terms of this vision of integrating, because before there was different silos, right, of different groups, right, doing kind of their own little thing, right, and set in their own ways. And now here we come, and that's how I became part of this, because I was also one of those silos that was in charge just of the LINAC, which is are these X-rays, soft X-ray hardware experiments. That's what was my focus. And so now they're like, okay, we can't have these silos because, you know, we just get massive scale of things, right? The experiments, what they're driving, the demands and the people, we need to integrate that. So under this new umbrella, we're bringing also all these other directorates into it so that they can, you know, take advantage of not only the underlying infrastructure that we're deploying, the framework, but also the you know, like the tools, but also the hardware itself. So yeah, so hopefully at one point everything will be nicely unified. So it'll be better integrated, right?
So there'll be a few fewer Synologies and Drobos under desks.
So. You never know. Well, maybe somebody will leave a next machine right there next to me. So
so we start off with the home directories. I don't remember that, right? So, and then we moved on to the fast feedback. So the fast feedback, I think the requirement there, we had to do like a 100 gigs a second or something of writes, something like that that came from your...
I think the order was, you know, so our offline storage right now is Lustre, right? So, and it's great. There's nothing, I'm not going to say anything bad about it because it worked great over the years. Yeah. But in terms of, but it does require like a dedicated, you know, person or, you know, it, more than, you know, a small group we can do, right? And as you know, it works great when it's all shiny and new, but as it gets old, you know, the hardware gets old, so it needs a little bit, you know, a bit of TLC, tender love and care. And unfortunately, you know, that focus wasn't there. So the writes that we were doing there wasn't anything that we can get. Like, I think we were looking at about 1 gigabit per second. Anything above that will help us, you know, achieve our goal. And then when we got Weka, I think it was around 2.5 or 3 gigabit per second that we got. So way more than what we need right now for our current setup. But eventually, as I said, with LCLS, the demand is there is high. Then we're looking at their establishing network connectivity of terabits per second, right, to be able to get that, move that data.
Yeah, because we've done experiments where we've been doing customers' workloads where we've got a 60 gigabytes a second of writes from us. So it's you have the space there. It'd be fun to help architect this thing as we go forward, because as you extend that collider and add in even the plasma laser, it's going to be a lot of data coming in. So I want
to... Oh, yeah. A lot of data. So we're looking... We definitely have to talk about the... And I have constantly, myself, and now that I'm, you know, this, now that I, there's a storage team. Before I was the storage team, you know, but now that we have a well-defined storage team, it's really great that they, you know, they're coming in as well. They're learning about Weka. They see some of the usability that it is with it. You know, it's like I said, sometimes it's hard to get people away from the technologies that they know, but it's like, oh, come on, dude. No, we got to move on, you know?
Believe me, I used to be a SAN expert and I try to get people converted to NAS. It was like, you know, fighting a holy war.
So that's kind of what we are. We're also educating, because at LCLS, we were the ones who adopted it. We were the ones who deployed it. We're the ones who administer. And by we, I mean I. So, you know, I've been working with like Josh, with yourself, with Efrain, with Eric, different people to kind of guide me and, you know, be more versed at, you know, the different capabilities of Weka and things like that. And making sure that it meets our requirements, right? And if there's something we need to turn or something that we need to look at, that prompt response is really good.
So, and then next we're going for scale at your facility, right? The stuff we're working on is going to be just exabytes and exabytes of data under management at some point. So it's fun to see.
Yes, indeed. So and you can't buy all the hardware at once, right? We cannot, you know, 10 years. So we have to buy it in pieces, because as hardware moves, right? And technology changes, you get better hardware, hopefully lower cost, hopefully. But, you know, when we get there, there'll be a new shiny toy to build. And the fact that we can just scale on it, it's going to be great. It's just one of the things that we're looking for.
Josh and I play around with the cloud cluster. I think people heard this before if they listen to this podcast, but we've made a cluster with very little bit of disk, but 14 exabytes of storage space, because we attached an object store. So you can make it just look as big as you want. There's an object store there, and then you can grow into it as you add more storage.
That's correct.
Yeah, strong air quotes
is that through AWS?
Is that what you use, AWS? Yeah, we were up in the cloud. We just pointed at an object store and said, hey, here you go.
We didn't actually consume 14 exabytes of storage. We just
put it in there. So
make the DF look really cool.
Yes, indeed. Yeah,
like, when was the last time you saw an E on your DF?
Well, you'll see half on our end. Oh, it's probably more, because half is just the... the Rubin data, but you know, as we get LCLS, it's going to definitely grow quite significantly. Nice. So, yeah, and you know, Weka is going to be behind that. So, good things to come, especially with the new upgrades that I'm hearing about, will allow us also to deprecate some old technologies, right? Because right now, you know, one tool can't do it all, right? But as we, you know, build this relationship, as Bob said, with the quotas, right? As we build the relationship, we look at this feature and it's helping us really get rid of those deprecated technologies. Like they have no business being in our environment anymore, right? And so that's really cool. So
when I was in my previous company, I would say, you know, S3 is coming. A lot of the kids who are coming to college are, you know, S3 specialists because that's all they learned with their scripting. And as they start working and building tools, the new stuff is going to be communicating in a different way. Our ideas of file systems and the way we've worked with things in the past is kind of becoming antiquated. And it's
going to be more the whole, I mean, you're still talking about basic, right?
I know, man. We're all it's files and folders is all we learned back in the day, but now it's all API man. Calls. So it's you know, it was nice. We added S3 a few months, a year ago now to Weka. So
yeah, it has been a while.
So now you can do S3 out the front end as well. So as new technologies come on board, I'm sure a lot of those telescopes and the new microscopes and everybody else is going to start speaking.
The demands, yeah.
It's going to be, and we want to have high speed for you. So it's exciting to be able to be a part of your growth and part of the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And like I said, I enjoy working with everybody at Weka, and the validation and the support, it's always really great. So I'm happy. I really am happy where we are at. And this is no marketing. I'm not trying to sell the product or anything like that. It's just that, you know, it works very well for us in terms of our, you know, personnel, in terms of what the different things that we're trying to accomplish. So
yeah, next thing we got to do is figure out a way to do a road trip down to the Southern Hemisphere and check out these telescopes in
person. Go to Chile so you can see that the largest lens, the largest camera in the world. Yeah, it's in Chile right now. I believe it's being built. So it's exciting. I don't know if it's done. I personally haven't been there, but some of my colleagues have and are working on the telescope, right? And the optics and stuff like that. They're there, but it's the largest camera. Yeah. Almost, I think it's, last time somebody told me it was like the same size as a 5.5 person, you know, 5 feet, 5 inches, something like that person. Wow. Something like that, 5'5", yeah.
Just put my daughter right
just
there.
Just like the imaging 5 feet, sensor?
Yeah. So yeah, it's the biggest one. So really exciting, you know, and the different, you know, technologies that are embedded into it also are very, very cool.
So you have to take a selfie.
Well, Omar, thanks for joining us. Yeah. Appreciate the time. Like, great stories. Like, really looking forward to the science that's coming out of what you guys are doing there. And, you know, hopefully, like, Weka continues to sort of really help and sort of drive the future of human knowledge. Really looking forward to that. Appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. So, thank you both for inviting me and giving a chance to introduce myself to the community and also, you know, to talk about science and technology, two things that I really love and reason why I am at Slack. So yeah, and great things to come. And like I said, you know, it's a good relationship with the personnel at Weka, and also, you know, the technology itself has been very suitable for our environments and our needs. So, and I look forward to the new releases that really give us an extra edge of where we want to be. So that's going to be really
fantastic.
Great.
Great. Well, thank you again. And for Cluster Conversations, I'm Josh.
And I'm Bob.
And we will talk to you next time.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Bye.